And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Just a moment ago, wealthy Rupert Barlow left Mary Noble's room in a New York hospital and strode down the hallway to the floor desk, where he met Mary's nurse, Miss Clark. And now he says...
Nurse, I want you to get hold of Dr. Allen for me and tell him I want to talk to him at once.
Oh, Dr. Allen has left for the day, Mr. Barlow. He won't be back.
Well, you must know where he can be reached, don't you?
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid not. I believe he was going to be out and didn't expect to return.
Do you mean to say that he can just leave his patients as casually as that? Doesn't the man have any sense of responsibility?
Is something wrong with Mrs. Noble? She seemed all right when I left her. She was resting quietly. I'd better hurry back to...
Now, wait a minute, nurse. There's no need to go rushing about making a lot of fuss. As far as I know, Mrs. Noble is no worse. But I want to get hold of Dr. Allen and have a talk with him at once.
But there's nothing I can do about it, Mr. Barlow. Dr. Allen has left his patients in charge of the staff doctors.
Oh, this is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. What kind of a doctor is he, anyhow? Telling a person one thing one minute and something different the next. It's not a thing that I'm in the habit of putting up with, as he'll find out. When you hear from him, have him call me at my apartment at once. Do you understand? At once.
I'll tell him, Mr. Barlow, but Dr. Allen is so rushed these days, I don't know if he'll have time to call.
He better have time. Just give him the message. That's all.
The nurse watches Rupert Barlow as he steps into the elevator and fades out of sight. And then she hurries to Mary Noble's room, where she says...
Mrs. Noble, has anything happened? Is there anything wrong?
Why, no, Miss Clark. I'm quite all right.
Oh, my goodness, you gave me such a scare. I thought surely you must have had an accident or something.
Why?
It was Mr. Barlow who gave me the idea. He came outside and seemed so terribly disturbed.
I'm sorry if he created a fuss. It's really all my fault.
I never saw him behave like that before. He's been so considerate and so very polite to everyone outside, and to have him suddenly change and practically blow my head off, I just don't understand.
I'm awfully sorry, Miss Clark. I shouldn't have said anything to him about the disappointment I felt this morning. And Dr. Allen let me see my face in the mirror.
Oh, but you're doing so very well, Mrs. Noble. You just have no idea how fortunate you are. I've nursed a good many cases of severe burns, and I can tell you most of them are far more stubborn than this one.
Yes, I'm sure that must be true, since both you and Dr. Allen have said so. But I couldn't help thinking that I'd be, well, so much better. I didn't expect my face to look as it did. That's why I gave myself away to Mr. Barlow.
I'm beginning to understand what happened now. He came storming out into the hall like a wild man. He was entirely different from his usual charming self. I thought something terrible must have happened.
Where did he go?
I don't know, Mrs. Noble. He left very suddenly. I suppose he was too upset to come back, and he probably didn't want you to be made uncomfortable. He insisted that he must see Dr. Allen at once. I tried to tell him that Dr. Allen won't be back until tomorrow. If anything should happen, he's given instructions to the staff. Of course, they could reach him if it was absolutely necessary.
Well, it isn't necessary on my account. I wish I hadn't said anything to him. It isn't fair to have other people burdened by my feelings.
Mr. Barlow thinks so much of you, Mrs. Noble. That's why he behaved that way. Poor man. I understand how it is.
I'm so glad my husband isn't here. At least he's been spared my outburst.
I'm sure no one could be more concerned for your welfare than Mr. Barlow. How it must hurt him to think of your suffering. It's rather wonderful when you stop to think about it.
I'll make very sure in the future not to say anything to worry him, Miss Clark. I didn't know he was coming here this afternoon. It was a complete surprise, and that's why I was off guard.
Oh, he wouldn't miss seeing you, no matter how much trouble it was. And you will never have to worry about anything from now on, Mrs. Noble. Not while you have Mr. Barlow to look out for you.
But I don't want him to feel that I'm his responsibility. It's the last thing in the world I want.
Well, you may find that it's very comforting to have him so close to you. After all, if it hadn't been for him and that nice Miss Marlowe, why, you'd have been very much alone with your husband clear at the other end of the country.
Mr. Noble is in Hollywood because I wanted him to go, Miss Clark.
Well, perhaps you did, Mrs. Noble, but at the same time, I can't help feeling that it would have been easier for you if he'd stayed here in New York.
Miss Clark, I'd rather you didn't criticize my husband, particularly since you don't understand the reasons for his being away. He's doing the best thing for both of us.
Well, sorry I said anything, Mrs. Noble. I know how very loyal you are. Of course, it's not my place to say what I think.
I hope Mr. Barlow isn't going to bother Dr. Allen. He's been extremely good to me. It isn't right to have anyone outside my own family interfering in this case.
But he only wants to make sure that everything is being done for you, Mrs. Noble. I understand perfectly how he feels, and I'm sure Dr. Allen will understand, too.
Just the same, I know my husband wouldn't like Mr. Barlow to take it upon himself to discuss my case with Dr. Allen. Everything is being done that can be done. And there's no reason for anyone to step in and try to take charge.
You must have frightened him very badly, Mrs. Noble. He must have thought that Dr. Allen had exaggerated your recovery.
I shouldn't have said anything about it.
Well, I hope you won't let your disappointment this morning worry you too much, because I'm sure there's no need for it. Of course you're not altogether well yet, but you just wait and see. You look lovelier than ever when it's all over.
It's nice of you to say that, Miss Clark.
I mean it. That poor Mr. Barlow. How it hurts him to think of anything happening to you.
I don't feel like talking about Mr. Barlow anymore, if you don't mind. I believe I'll read for a bit.
Oh, of course. Suppose I just turn the bed up a little and fix your pillows. Now, how's that better?
Very comfortable, Miss Clark, thanks.
Now then, I'll see about your supper tray, and if you're the least bit uncomfortable, be sure to ring.
I'll be quite all right. Thank you.
You'll feel better when you've had a little something to eat. Now, don't worry. I understand how it is.
And across the country in Hollywood, we find Larry Noble sitting at a table in a little restaurant overlooking the Pacific. Across from him is the pretty young actress Dora Dean, who works at the same picture studio where Larry is appearing in a film. And we hear...
Oh, I thought you'd like this place, Mr. Noble. I think it's the most wonderful view. Way up high, looking out at the ocean.
Yes, it's very nice, Dora. I'm glad you suggested coming here. After all the trouble you've taken helping me get a place to live, it's the least I can do in return.
But I love to do anything I can to help you, Mr. Noble. It's a real thrill for me to meet such a famous actor. I've always thought you were wonderful.
Oh, it's very flattering, my dear. But what makes you think I'm a good actor? Have you ever seen one of my plays?
No, I never had a chance. I've always been stuck out here on the coast.
I should think there were worse places. And after all, you're going to become a star in your own right someday.
I wish I believed that. I'm getting so discouraged.
At your age? Why, you have your whole life ahead of you, my dear.
What good is that? I'll never be famous like you. Oh, you don't know how I envy you, Mr. Noble. You have everything in the world, just simply everything.
Don't be too sure of that, Dora.
But you have. Your fame and your family, all your friends back in New York. I bet you miss them, don't you?
Yes, I miss them very much.
I don't see why you ever came out here at all. But I'm glad you did, because I'd probably never have met you if you hadn't.
I told you, Dora. I came out here because it's the quickest way to make some money. And that's what I need right now. That's why I'm moving tonight from that expensive hotel to the room you helped me find.
Gee, I'll bet your wife loves you very much. You're so unselfish, Mr. Noble.
Unselfish? Me?
Tell me about where you live, back home, I mean. Do you have a big penthouse way up in a skyscraper someplace?
Oh, no. Nothing like that. We have a very modest home out on Long Island. A place called Rosehaven.
What do you do when you're working in a play?
Oh, I usually take the train back and forth. It's not too far. And I like it so much when I get home. It's well worth the trip.
Isn't it lonesome, though, when you get home so late?
Oh, no. Mary usually waits up for me. We almost always have something to eat. Glass of milk, sandwich, or a piece of cake. We like to sit in the kitchen and talk over everything that's happened. Sort of catch up, you know.
That's the way I'd like it to be if I ever got married. Tell me, do you live near the water out there, Mr. Noble?
Oh, yes, yes. It's just a short walk to Long Island Sound. There's a small club close by where I keep a sailboat.
Does your wife like to sail?
Yes, very much. And she's very good, Dora. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if she were a better sailor than I am. But she's too tactful to say so. Sundays when I'm home, I often get into the club races. And my son, Larry Jr., he's getting big enough so that he'll be pretty handy this year. I'm going to let him start crewing for me. We ought to make out pretty well, I guess.
Sounds swell, Mr. Noble. That's the way to live.
Say, what's the matter with me, anyhow? Talking on and on like this as though...
As though what?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. Look here, Dora, it's getting late night. I think I ought to be getting you home. I've talked enough for one day. Too much, I'm afraid. I guess for a minute I'd almost forgotten how different everything's going to be.
Larry Noble picks up the check and gets up, suddenly overcome with the desolation of his longing for Mary, and what he believes to be the end of their marriage. Be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.